Hello, I'm Mark Steiner, and welcome. We are going to take a look at what went on in the trial of Mayor Sheila Dixon today, talk about some of the political implications and more, get your ideas and thoughts here at 410-319-8888. You can write to us here at steinershow@gmail.com. Log on to my Facebook page, but I don't think I've written anything there, but I'll try to do that in the course of this hour. We'd like to hear your thoughts. Anthony McCarthy, of course, host of the Anthony McCarthy Show here every Friday, 5 to 7 p.m., is here on Mondays with me to boost me up on these Mondays. Let me get through. It's always good to have you, Anthony.
It's always great to be with you. We always seem to give people a different perspective on the things that are going on in our city and our country.
And I'm looking forward to your thoughts in a minute because you had a lot of things to say in the green room, and I'm going to probe that in a minute. But we have on the phone with us Melody Simmons, who does reporting for WEAA and the Center for Emerging Media and has been covering this trial every day inside the court for us, and calls in every day in my show and Anthony's show to talk about what she has seen and heard and her analysis. We're also joined by Jay Wendell Gordon, who is a trial attorney based here in Baltimore, who is John Muhammad's attorney, and joins us also by phone to talk about the trial. Melody Simmons and Wendell, welcome. Good to have you both with us.
Thank you.
Not
only am I
John Muhammad's attorney, but I have a whole lot of other clients.
I thought you were right. I apologize.
Not at all.
Okay.
As a matter of fact, John, Jay Wendell, I just read that there may be a book coming out soon.
Well, actually, the book has been in works for the last 2.5 years. I mean, the Baltimore Sun did a story like it was news, but in 2007, on August 20th, the Daily Record picked up the story. So I've been working on the book for a while.
All right. Great to have you on board with us today.
Thank you. It's my pleasure to be here.
Let's start with Anthony. No, you weren't there, Anthony. Let's start with Melody.
I think it would cause quite a stir if I came in the room.
I think it would cause a huge stir if you walked in that courtroom. Is he testifying? Or is he just 410-319-8888? Melody, tell us your analysis of what you saw today. We were reading some of the Sun coverage just before we went on the air, but tell us your thoughts and we'll probe from there.
Well, today was very interesting. It was what I like to say is a bread and butter day. It was all about gift cards. And the testimony was long and it droned on at times, but basically we got the ins and outs of how gift cards work. They also broke it down into certain gift cards that the mayor used and received and had. And they brought back one of the witnesses that they had last week, Lindbergh Carpenter, who was actually pled guilty to stealing $250 in gift cards and lost his job. He used to work for the Department of Housing and Housing Community Services. And he basically talked about how there is no system at City Hall for receiving, recording, keeping track of gift cards. So it was a very interesting day.
Now, Melody, I want to ask you, before we bring Jay Wendell into this conversation, I talked to some other folks who were down there today, and they talked about the how the prosecutor really is just painting a picture of how loose these gift cards were accounted for.
Yeah.
That there wasn't very much accountability, but that Patrick Turner, very prominent developer in our city, very connected to this administration through his support and a lot of his projects, he was real clear that he was under the impression that when he gave over $1,000 worth of gift cards, that they were for needy families, that they were to go to children in the city of Baltimore.
That's right. That is exactly what he testified. Patrick Turner took the stand in the late morning and basically said that Mayor Dixon personally asked him in 05 and 06 to donate gift cards for needy families at Christmas time.
Now, was the prosecutor then able to connect some of those gift cards to Mayor Dixon?
Yes. They did. In fact, they have serial numbers. A lot of the gift cards have serial numbers, particularly Target. They had a assistant manager from the Reisterstown Road Target on the stand, and he basically gave the TikTok about how there are serial numbers on the Target cards and how Target has a very elaborate Byzantine almost system of tracking its gift cards and from the time of purchase. And so they were able to link some of the cards that Patrick Turner bought to Mayor Dixon and the purchases that she made, which included vitamin water, Purell, a pocketbook. So, you know, they were able to list exactly off receipts some of the things that were purchased.
So, Jay Wendell, as you've been reading about this trial, as you've been hearing, what threshold, and I know you've been in the courtroom, you are probably one of the most dynamic attorneys I've ever had the pleasure of actually being in court and watch, and I don't say that a lot to attorneys, actually, but...
I appreciate it.
But what
unless
kind of...
Unless you're paying them.
Unless I'm paying them. And boy, have I paid a few.
I'm just teasing. Go ahead.
Right.
But what is the threshold the prosecutor's trying to get at? What's the message he's trying to get to these 12 jurors?
I mean, ultimately, I mean, he wants to show that she used these gift cards that were basically for a needy family, for needy families, as opposed to her personal use. I mean, to use gift cards for vitamin water and things of the personal effects such as that certainly wasn't the intended purpose or purchase of the gift cards in the first place. So he basically wants to show that the mayor misused her influence and used the gift cards for her own personal benefit.
And if I'm right, the also testifying today was somebody who worked for the mayor or still works for the mayor, who testified that she had a $500,000 income, household income, but that the mayor gave her gift cards at Christmas saying, oh, it was Mary Pat Fannin.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, Mary Pat Fannin.
Saying, we were giving gift cards. The mayor said, do something nice for your children.
Well, what happened with that was, yes, Mary Pat Fannin took the stand, and she is now a contractor consultant for the city. But at the time that she received the gift card, she was on staff. And it appeared to be on a very friendly basis with the mayor. And at a holiday potluck at City Hall, the mayor gave her a $15 Toys R Us gift card and said, quote, buy something nice for your daughter. And so Mary Pat Fannin said on the stand today, so I went out and bought something nice for my daughter. And then later admitted that she, you know, her husband had a very large salary, $500,000 plus, and she herself worked for City Hall. So, you know, they're just trying to draw the comparison between needy, not needy gift cards, making a triangle.
And I guess if you're making $500,000, you would not necessarily be, I would say, classified as a needy family.
Unless you have $1 million worth of expenses.
Yeah.
That's right. I do know a lot of rich people who are in debt.
but she could have thought that it was just a gift from the mayor.
Right. Mm-hmm. That's right. And probably did think.
You know,
she did. And they actually showed a thank you note that she wrote to the mayor, thanking her for the gift card. And she had given the mayor a book on Baltimore for Christmas. So they exchanged gifts that year.
So do you get the sense that they're trying to portray the mayor as a purveyor of these gift cards? That is, she's distributing them herself
to
the individuals that she deems needy or...
Well, what came out is, you know, a lot of these gift cards were used in the Holly Trolley Tour, which is a something that started with Mayor Schaefer when he was mayor, Governor Schaefer. And I think O'Malley did not have the Holly Trolley Tour, but Mayor Dixon picked it back up again, going through the city to certain neighborhoods, handing gift cards out and other gifts at Christmas time. And so it was pretty much the mayor's discretion. There were no rules, and this came out as well today, too. This was a big point made by the defense, that the mayor had the discretion to give the cards out, but certainly not to herself.
Was also, just in terms of legal matters, there's some other larger issues that we want to get to with this as well, outside of the court situation, is that the Pat Turner, I understand, testified also that he had a number of events where he ran into Mayor Sheila Dixon. She never had once even said thank you for the cards. But then later in his testimony, he said that he left it in a plain envelope, an unmarked envelope, without even a note in it. So all this is kind of this could go to her defense, saying, "I thought they were gifts from
Ron Lipscomb."
Ron Lipscomb.
Right, exactly. And this is part of her defense. This came out in opening statements that Patrick Turner, they don't dispute that she spent the gift cards and received them. But basically the dispute is, and her defense is saying that she did receive that stack of gift cards from Mr. Turner, the developer, and he verified that today on the stand. He just put them in an envelope, wrote for Sheila Dixon, and left them at City Hall. She was then City Council President.
And mm-hmm. and that both envelopes, I mean, came, that apparently she received the envelope from Pat Turner mm-hmm. at the same time she received Lipscomb's, so she said she will argue that they're both from them, and this was just another gift from her friend.
Exactly, and that's pretty much what she's claiming, that she, you know, got confused or something. I mean, we haven't heard her. She hasn't.
Put on the defense yet, right?
Right. But I have to say, there's another witness that works for Patrick Turner. His name is Glenn Sharnow. This has been a big fight in court. In fact, Mr. Sharnow actually took the stand today.
Oh, really?
Yes. And then there was a giant bench conference. And a lot of hand-wringing, et cetera, up there at the bench. And Mr. Sharnow was asked to step down.
Yeah, the judge,
it could be a discovery violation.
Yeah, they did not let him testify. And the judge said, please step down for now.
What's that mean, Jay Wendell?
Yeah, explain that, would you?
Yeah, it could be any number of things. And I'm simply speculating. But mm-hmm. The prosecutors mm-hmm. obviously have to turn over to the defense their witnesses. That is, the witnesses they intend to call. And they have to also turn over whatever writings that are attached to the witnesses. If the witnesses made a statement, they have to turn that over. It could be any number of things, but it sounds to me, I heard a lot of pounding at the desk. It means that somebody didn't get something. Well, it would lead me to believe that somebody didn't get something that they were supposed to have, or that the testimony is irrelevant, or that its probative value is substantially outweighed by its prejudicial impact. And basically what that means is that the prejudice of the testimony is far worse than any probative value that it would add to any value that it would add to the case. So those were the I can almost state with some degree of confidence that it was some type of discovery violation.
Well,
I do want to get to the point, so go ahead, Melody.
What we're hearing in the press corps is that Mr. Sharnow was basically asked by Patrick Turner in 2006. Apparently, Mayor Dixon called Mr. Turner when he was in the Cayman Islands on a vacation. He owns property, owns a house down there. And Mayor Dixon, or I call her mayor, but she was president of the city council at the time, called him and asked him to please purchase some more gift cards for charity. And he was out of the country. But in turn, we saw his cell phone record. He called Mr. Sharnow, within an hour after the call from Ms. Dixon, and said, please go purchase. He testified that he asked him to purchase the gift cards for him. Mr. Sharnow purchased the 2006 batch of gift cards. And so this is what's come up in the new discovery about this third developer. This is the person who's the third developer. He was ruled, a maybe. We
right.
didn't know last week if he was going to testify or not, but he actually took the stand today and was asked to step down.
But I thought the judge earlier said he could not testify.
I think the judge left it open.
He left it open.
Yeah, he left it open because he wanted to see if, I think as the course of the trial went on, if there could be
right.
this relevance. And he was upset by the length of time that the prosecution actually just what they called the 11th hour brought this new developer into the process.
There are some questions from our listeners. You just heard Anthony McCarthy, host of the Anthony McCarthy Show, who's my co-host here every Monday, and is a member of our firm, Center for Emerging Media. We have this 5 to 7 p.m. slot here very happily on WEA together,
Amen.
And we really enjoy ourselves. Melody Simmons, who is a reporter for WEAA and the Center for Emerging Media, has been covering this trial every day from the courthouse for us. Jay Wendell Gordon is a noted attorney here based in Baltimore, who's joined us with his legal expertise. 410-319-8888 is the number. Write to us here at steinershow@gmail.com. Veronica and White Marsh are on the air.
Yes, my question is this. Someone alluded to this earlier. Do they have copies of letters or notes from the donors of the gift card to the mayor saying, enclosed, please find gift cards and X amount of dollars for needy families? And then do they have copies of a thank you note from the mayor saying, thank you, I have received the gift cards for these needy families? Do they have any of that?
Veronica, great questions. In covering the trial, Melody, any thoughts on that?
No, that's a great question. We have heard nothing in the trial. The most we've heard on that issue is that it's been a verbal request, and that once the gift cards are delivered, that there has been no acknowledgement, no response, and certainly nothing in writing thanking them, even though Patrick Turner did testify today that he charged the gift cards on his American Express. His statement was brought into court as evidence, and he makes his own personal notations on there, and he noted that it was for charity as an office expense. So that's the closest we've gotten. There's no acknowledgement from City Hall that these were for needy people.
Which I think, you know, really does help Sheila Dixon's defense. But I think, Mark, as we've talked before, and it does raise even more of a specter of the relationship, obviously unspoken relationship that a lot of prominent developers have with the leaders at City Hall.
Well, I do want to get into that because I think you raised it in the green room, and I think this is a very powerful piece of this. This is not part of the court case, but it speaks to something else we should be talking about in this community. Let's get another caller in here. We'll jump into that. 410-319-8888. Dave, you're on the air.
Yes, wonderful program, and I congratulate you for covering this better than any other media. But
thank you.
My question is, let's say these donors said to Ms. Dixon, you can use these cards for whatever you want, for yourself, your staff, et cetera. Wouldn't she say, as a city employee, given the city's ethics requirements, I have to give these to the poor? I'd like to hear your response.
That's a very interesting question. Let's go around the room about that. I mean, I think that that's part of what we talked last week for a brief time with Sherrilyn Ifill about. We'll be on the show, I think, at least Wednesday and Thursday, talking about the trial. And she's a very smart woman and very astute analyst and all this stuff. The question that she was raising then was, just that if this is an ethics violation, it should not even be in the courts. That this should be before an ethics commission to make a judgment whether or not she violated some civic ethics or ethics that didn't really violate the law, but had some ethical violation. Then she should stand before the voters and be addressed. But that's a question. So I mean,
I heard that same question raised when I think it's a delegate or councilman out in Baltimore County had problems with his campaign funds. He took a loan, the $2,000 loan.
Councilman.
Because he had paid the money back. And people always wondered whether or not the prosecutor's office was being particularly heavy-handed in those particular situations where it very well could have been an ethics violation. It turned out to be a criminal violation, but it could have been handled in either forum. So in this particular case, if it gets to the point that there's no real tracking system for these gift cards, and if they just the procedure just doesn't smell right, then perhaps it is more of an ethics violation than a criminal matter. But again, you have to wait till all the evidence unfolds.
And there is evidence that these cards were given to the poor. A lot of them did go to underprivileged kids and families. Mm-hmm. I know that they seem to be making a link between an Xbox that was purchased by Mayor Dixon and something that was delivered to one of her staff members, a single mother who was a one of her staff members. So,
right,
you know, there was nothing saying that, you know, just they're poor in the community, you know, I mean, or needy in the community. And so I do know that a lot, this has come out in testimony too, that a lot of these cards did make it to the intended destination.
So if it is the intended destination, it still raises the question, even though the mayor obviously had discretion, why she was using the cards for herself personally and buying personal items. And again, I agree with Mark. I think that there is, and I'm not a legal expert like J. Wendell Gordon, but there is this.
I love it.
There is this smell test. Now, I don't know where that smell test naturally falls, whether it's criminal or ethical. And again, she's being judged by 12 of her peers who ultimately will make that determination. But I believe that if the argument could be made that if she spent any cards that were not, in fact, intended for her, then she either, I'm trying to walk this fine line, either she broke the law or she certainly had some questionable ethical choices.
Well, I would take that one step further, and you have to, in everything in criminal law, you have to look at the intent.
Yes,
what's the intent there? And if it was negligent, it's not criminal, but it might perhaps be an ethical violation. But if it was intentional, mm-hmm. where she intentionally used these cars that she knew or had reason to know was for a charitable purpose, then, yeah, then the criminal case can be made out. But I think that's going to be the difficulty, since she's saying she didn't know.
That's right.
And but if she's saying she didn't know, then it's negligence. And you can't hold somebody to a criminal standard when they were basically negligent. Unless, but, not in these types of mm-hmm. crimes, not in specific intent crimes, as we would designate these that she's been charged.
And I can say, excuse me, Anthony.
Go ahead, Beth Miller.
Well, I think this is really important, too. One of the final witnesses of the day was a criminal investigator who used to work with the state prosecutor's office, who now has moved on to D.C. government doing the same thing. His name was Chris Beasing. And basically, he was one of the main people in there, in the mayor's house when they raided her house June 17, 2008. And he detailed all kinds of gift cards that they found in the mayor's home that were not part of this, holiday giveaway. So, in other words, the picture painted from him and his testimony is that the mayor is kind of a gift card fanatic. You know, there were Dunkin' Donuts gift cards, ESPN gift cards, Caribou Coffee gift cards, Nordstrom gift cards, Giant gift cards. So these were all, and many more, that were detailed. I think that she shops a lot with gift cards, but not necessarily from, from the charity line.
Mm-hmm.
Well, again, I think I'm going to go to the phones here, but I want to kind of probe, I think we should probe the question again. It's been probed before, which is that, they spent, two and a half years, is it more?
About three and a half.
Mm-hmm. 3.5 years probing Sheila Dixon, President of City Council, then as mayor, for all kinds of things that could have been very serious allegations about inappropriate activity, maybe illegal activity, as President of City Council and mayor when it came to contractors and her family. And all they came up with were these few thousand dollars worth of gift cards. I think that the mayor may or may not need to be brought to task for ethical violations, which I want to probe. And I think it raises some larger issues, not necessarily illegal, but it goes to the heart of real political questions that Anthony raised with me in the green room, which is this just symptomatic of the huge power developers have in local governments and that they throw their weight around? I don't care if it's Sheila Dixon or Martin O'Malley or Kurt Schmoke or William Donald Schaefer, or whoever they are, their best friends and buddies are in the development world that gets the largesse of local money contracts to do whatever, and they give whole tracts of land and the rest. And that's not really the issue here, more than this trial.
Well, the pay to play rule has been in effect in Baltimore City for quite some time, and the interesting thing with this trial is that the dots aren't connected between, say, Patrick Turner and some of his developments, like Silo Point, and the request directly from Sheila Dixon as president of the city council to pony up some gift cards.
And interesting you'd use that phrase. I'm curious if they're saying that they thought these gift cards were at her discretion for her to be used. What's the explanation the defense is going to give J. Wendell Gorton for her asking for the cards in the first place? I mean, if they're saying that she thought they were hers to use for whatever she wanted to use them for, are they going to say they just asked for $1,000 worth of gift cards just to have $1,000 worth of gift cards?
Well, it's interesting to me what their defense is going to be. I can only imagine that that's the route they're going to take.
Mm-hmm.
But I would just sit back and wait and see, how they're actually going to put it all together. I had a question. Are the serial numbers, do they have a series of serial numbers that a particular gift card can be connected to a particular batch of gift cards in this?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Okay. In fact, they went through painstaking detail, and Target especially. Certain Old Navy you can't do it with. There are certain other companies, Circuit City, there was kind of mushy, but Target was, game, set, and match on the serial numbers.
Let's go to the phones, get a few callers here before we take a break. 410-319-8888. Brian in Washington, D.C., you're on the air.
Good afternoon. Thanks for taking my call.
Thanks for calling.
Scott, I have one point that I want to make about the Dixon mess that's going on right now. I think that in the early stage of the trial, when they cited the fact that in neither case of the two developers, did they in any way indicate or document that this was a charitable contribution, I think that the case falls apart right there. I think that for a business to make a charitable contribution and to not note it so is just an exercise in foolhardiness. Nobody does that. That's not where the gift cards were going in the first place. And that coupled with the fact that the other gentleman, Mr. Lipscomb, had something to gain by throwing the mayor under the bus in terms of his own criminal entanglements with Ms. Holton, I think that the case just falls apart right then and there. I don't think you have much to stand on. I understand that there was documentation, and I understand that there's someone else in the fray now indicating that he also made a similar donation or allocation to Ms. Dixon. But I think at the end of the day, you got people who say they made charitable contributions, didn't deduct them, didn't document them as such. I'm just not buying it. If I'm a jury, this case is, if I'm a juror, that is, this case is all over.
Very interesting, Brian. I think a lot of people share that view with you.
I think that that's a sentiment here in Baltimore, and I think it's a sentiment among a lot of people who like Sheila Dixon. I think it's a, and again, it's always dangerous to say what I'm about to say because you touch these dangerous grounds. But I think it's in America, it's very true. This also is a feeling a lot in the black community, who feels like Sheila Dixon is the first African American woman is being attacked by prosecutors. Some are saying a conspiracy by Bob Ehrlich, which I don't believe, but it was a Republican administration that hired this prosecutor whose job clearly was to go after Democrats. And Sheila Dixon is one of those Democrats. Mm-hmm. And I think that, and it's not at all like the Tommy Bromwell case where you have tapes. He's been saying these egregious things about the money he took and all these slanders against African American people and everything else that was on those tapes. But all that's very different. So we're going to take a short break and come right back. Michael is our next caller up, 410-319-8888. We will tackle the issue of developers, which I really want to get into with y'all, and get into our other callers and listeners. We'll be right back with Melody Simmons, J. Wendell Gordon, and, of course, my co-host, Anthony McCarthy. The Mark Steiner Show is made possible by Johns Hopkins Medicine. For the 19th consecutive year, the Johns Hopkins Hospital is ranked number one by U.S. News & World Report in their annual Best Hospital Survey. Find out more about the nation's top hospital at hopkinsmedicine.org. We'll be right back. Welcome back. I'm Mark Steiner here with my co-host Anthony McCarthy, whose show, of course, is on every Friday at this time here on WEAA, 5 to 7 p.m. Melody Simmons reports for WEAA and, of course, the Center for Emerging Media. She's covering the trial for us now. J. Wendell Gordon is a noted attorney, trial attorney here in our community. He joins us with his legal thoughts on this case. 410-319-8888 is number here. Before I go any further, let me remind you that Urbanite radio stories on the Mark Steiner Show are made possible by National Connections Academy, an accredited online private school with affordable tuition for grades K through 12. Visit nationalconnectionsacademy.com for more information. 410-319-8888 is number here. Michael, you've been holding on for a while. You're on the air.
Hi.
Hi, Michael.
I just have one question.
Sure.
Okay. When she asked the gentleman, I think you said his name was Steiner.
Patrick Turner.
Patrick Turner.
Yeah,
I'm Steiner.
Okay.
Right.
He asked him for the card, and he put them in a white envelope and wrote her name on it. Shouldn't she have called him to find out what he did with the card?
No, it was a blank envelope, from what we understand. Is that right, Melody?
No, I think that's right.
It was a blank envelope.
I think he wrote for Sheila Dixon on the envelope, correct?
Yes, that's what he testified today. But no note inside, just a stack of gift cards in there.
To ask him if he gave the card?
Well, no, but I think what the testimony is that it was an envelope with just her name on it, with no indication of where it was from. And, of course, her argument is Jay Wendell Gordon, our argument is that she received these. She thought they were from Ron Lipscomb, who was not just a developer, but her boyfriend.
But I think the caller saying, if she thought that, wouldn't the natural then follow through would have been, oh, well, we didn't get the cards from Patrick Turner that I requested. Let me call Patrick Turner and find out where those cards are. Is that right, caller? Oh, the caller's gone, I guess.
Jay Wendell, is that what you would kind of cross-examine?
Well, you would want to see some type of follow-up if you actually requested these cards and you were expecting them to come from one individual and they come from an unknown or anonymous individual. And if you believe those cards came from your boyfriend as opposed to the person you requested them from, then yes, I would expect to hear some follow-up.
And I think the interesting thing, Melanie, correct me if I'm wrong, they have some history where the boyfriend, the developer Ron Lipscomb, evidently showered her with anonymous gifts.
Well,
and so
right.
This would not be unusual for him to deliver. I mean, I think it's strange on the whole, if we're honest. Mm-hmm. Strange that a boyfriend would be giving you $25 gift cards to Giant or Target or wherever. But that's neither here nor there.
That's for the jury. Yeah.
That's for the jury to decide. Mm-hmm. I think that he has some history, though, of sending her anonymous gifts.
I believe, yes, he does, and that came out also in the opening statements, and I believe it's because, you know, he was married. And so, you know, just a minor little asterisk there, but he did shower her with gifts, and they all came signed, quote, anonymous, end quote. And so, you know, blind gifts were coming in to Sheila Dixon during that period in time.
You might think it's a lapse in judgment on the mayor's part, but, I mean, she was also legally married at the time.
That's right.
Separated but married.
Right.
And there's a lot of reasons why the two of them wanted to hide what was going on at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
And this is all part of it, and we don't talk about that very much because it sounds Shapurian. I don't like to get, I mean, this is, as I've said before, and some people got really upset when I said this, this is as dumb to me as trying to impeach a president for lying about something he didn't want anybody else to know about. So, I mean,
well, it's, you know, I have to tell you that it's a very interesting dynamic going on in the courtroom. There's a lot of testimony. It's very technical today. And, of course, it will get more emotional. We believe Mr. Lipscomb may take the stand tomorrow, possibly Wednesday. But I think the gloves come off then.
Mm-hmm. At the end of the day, are we talking about 60 gift cards worth about $1,500?
We are, yes.
Okay.
I think $1,500, you know, that the figure is a little nebulous right now, but
mm-hmm.
A lot of those gift cards did make it on the Holly Crawley
right.
Tour and did make it out into the community.
Okay.
But, you know, a very small amount were in Mayor Dixon, you know, within her pocketbook, and also some of them found when they raided her house.
And then those cards that they found, they were in fact used for purchases?
Yes, and okay. They traced them back to her basically because some of them weren't enough for the purchase, and she had to use a credit card to augment the balance. And also they were able to track down, using the serial numbers, the exact receipt.
I'm sorry. And do we know how much money, what's the value of the gift cards that were directly attributed to her? Like, is it under $300, under $500?
Oh, yes, $25, $50. But if you put them all together, they totaled, I think the largest expenditure was about $250, $300 in one clip.
So we're talking about under $500 or around $500?
Yes,
less than $1,000?
Under $500.
Wow.
But not total. I mean, that's just per purchase.
Yeah, the total would add up to a little bit about $1,500. But I think that begs the question, Jay Wendell and Melody, and I know we have a bunch of callers.
Yeah, gets the phones here.
That begs the question of where did the thousands of almost $3,000, maybe $2,500, $3,000 worth of other gift cards? They obviously made it into the community.
That's right.
Let's hear what our listeners have to say about this. 410-319-8888. Let's see who's been holding on for the longest amount of time. Sharon, you're on the air.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Welcome.
I was just, I had to laugh because I believe it's the reporter that was talking about the mayor being somewhat of a gift card fanatic. And I understand that. I have approximately about $800 worth of gift cards in my house for almost every store you can name, as well as discount cards and everything. Because about 2 years ago, when the economy started going bad, whenever I started getting low on funds, or whenever I had a little bit of extra money, I would buy gift cards, especially to grocery stores and things that I knew I would always need. That being said, it's not unusual to have a bunch of gift cards in this day and age because you never know when you'll need them and when you won't have cash during this economy. However, I think that in the mayor's position, if she knew that she had a relationship with Mr. Lipscomb, then she should have abstained from any kind of voting, especially knowing, you know, their situation and the fact that they had a relationship. On the other hand, on a scale of importance of 1 to 10, with the economy being what it is, and with the government giving out as much money to banks who are still not lending it to the people who need it and fighting wars on two fronts, the importance of this whole matter is less than zero.
Mm. Well, you know, I mean, I was thinking that in a different vein, Sharon, as I was looking at the news today on the web, I was preparing for the show, and one of the other stories is with the police shootings that have just took place, that there are over 200 murders in the city of Baltimore this year. So, you know, and there are perhaps well over 100,000 people, 29,000 families, waiting for Section 8 housing. So what...
Wow.
Let's talk about what might be more important in Baltimore, what we face in the city, rather than this and the distractions we have. 410-319-8888. Tim, you're on the air.
My call. I just have a couple of comments.
Sure.
First of all, I'm kind of surprised at the attitude that the people of Baltimore are taking on the situation. This is an ethics issue. Nothing more, nothing less.
Yes.
She lied. I mean, you know what I'm saying? I just don't understand how people are saying, oh, it wasn't that much, da-da-da-da-da-da.
Oh, let me ask you, so what does that mean? So it's an ethics issue. She lied. But if it's not a legal issue, then what does that mean to you?
Well, it's a legal issue because she lied when, you know, I guess when the grand jury questioned her. If she would have just fessed up, I'm sure we wouldn't be in this trial situation right now.
So, Timothy, are you saying that you just don't believe that the crime, I mean, that the allegations rise to something criminal? Or are you criticizing the public's taking a laissez-faire attitude about, well, it was just a couple $1,000 worth of
cases. Right. I'm blaming the public and some of her constituents as well as, like, taking a blind eye to this. This is very important, I believe.
Hmm.
I mean, it just goes to show you what type of character she has.
Right.
Yeah, I think that's the bigger question mark.
Character issue, right.
And like unlike Timothy, I've worked for her. I've said that publicly, and just really have a great deal of affection for this mayor personally. But when it comes to, I think that what we're getting at with all this talk about the gift cards coming, and people were very comfortable with the level of gift cards that were coming, I think it gives us more of an insight into character,
right.
Not the criminal intent. And I hope that her intent was not to steal. I mean, I don't have to make that judgment call, but I think it does raise a great deal of questions about people's character. The people who took the cards, including the housing official who stole $250 worth of cards and lost his job. I understand he now continues to work for the government in another jurisdiction. It really does raise the question. And I know our callers have, we want to get to these callers, but I think that probably Melody, Jay Wendell, and Mark would agree with me that there is a broader question here, not about her guilt or innocent on these crimes, but about the relationship that these developers have,
right,
that people are really comfortable dropping off envelopes full of gift cards at City Hall.
And nobody seems to be covering this aspect of it. I mean, I do think that the ethical issues are the more important issues here than the legal issues. I think they're, the more I hear about the case, maybe we'll be wrong. I'm not sure about them. But B, is this relationship, as you're talking about, between developers? It's the same thing that happened with City Councilwoman Holton. That's what's being affected here. The relationship of how does this affect, maybe not this particular thing, but the relationship with developers of the city and these acres and acres of land the land bank holds. Who's going to get them? Will developers get them? Or do communities have a say in what's going to happen to their neighborhoods and how we redevelop the city? And those are the issues here that should be bubbling up, which is that developers are the defense contractors of local government. You know? I mean, we don't have a military
industrial. That's a brilliant way to look at it, because I've never really thought about that. But developers locally are the grease that keeps the engines running. And when you raise the question about who has the influence, is it communities that vote? You would think that would have some, obviously, influence on the decisions made by our decision makers. Or is it the company that can give you the limit in their contribution for your reelection?
Who wants to make hundreds of millions of dollars? Go ahead, Melia.
Well, we had the same exact guess this mirrors some of the same discussions that took place during the tenure of William Donald Schaefer
That's right.
at City
mm-hmm.
Hall
That's right.
with Willard Hackerman and some of the big developers who put together Harbor Place. And, you know, Mr. Do It Now was basically, you know, him and his buddies, they totally had a vision, and they set out and transformed the Inner Harbor. So this is exactly how it happens. It's kind of a symphony that you have politicians and you have developers, and you know this is how the engines in cities work. So, but it can break down, and you can have lapses, and I think that's what this is under the microscope right now.
Mm-hmm. Let me go back to the phones here, 410-319-8888, and we'll go in the order of people called in here. Maria, you're up next.
Hello, Mark, and to the panel, good
Welcome.
Evening, everyone.
Hi, Maria.
I'm just tuning in, so some of this may have been covered, but just a few points. Number one, I believe I heard someone say that, Melanie, I think I love the term you use, the Byzantine system that Target uses. I think I'll remember that all week long. They seem to be the only ones that could come up with receipts and things
That's
of
right.
that nature. But there was a caller either from D.C. or White Marsh, who stated that, okay, where's the thank you note? Where's the card that said, you know, dear Mayor Dixon, you know, here are the gift cards that you requested to be used for charitable families. And it was either Melanie or one of your other guests who said that previous administrations for many years had the ability to use those funds, I'll say in a discretionary manner, yes, they were to go for, in their minds, needy families.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, it's more of an ethical issue.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I think, but what gets my gut is that, Melanie, I believe you said this
Melody,
investigation
yep.
has been going on for, is it 3 years?
Three and a half.
Okay, 3.5 years. And you're trying to convict the mayor of Baltimore City. And this is what you've come up with.
Yeah.
And the majority of the money, the gift cards, I'm sorry, has in fact been used for needy families. And the other gift cards were used at her discretion for those persons that perhaps she felt, you know, did a good job or worked very hard or whatever the case may be.
Or were needy as well.
Or were needy as well. Okay. And
Over
I'm
herself.
Saying, what is it? How much money was spent? $2 million or something?
Well over $2 million on this prosecution.
Okay. Alone. Okay. Mm-hmm. Alone. Mm-hmm. And I am supposed to sit by. Now, don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying that she's guilty or not. I respect her tremendously. And so there's a strong side of me that says mm-hmm. it was just a wrong ethical choice.
So do you think that the jury would be nullified by the fact that all this money has been spent for such a piddling amount of money?
Well, in that sense, you know, regardless of whether it's, you know, $5,000, $10,000, or $2,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's a matter of, okay, what's right and what's wrong? Okay. What were her intentions?
Yeah.
Okay, and I think that, but what I'm upset about is, okay, you want to question her integrity, you want to question her quote-unquote criminal intent, but you searched her entire home. You hired a private investigator who even said, you
right.
know, she had all these gift cards in her house. So how do you know how she even shopped?
Right. Well, I mean, they do know where she spent them because that came out in court today. I mean,
well, let me rephrase that, Mark. I'm sorry.
I
say how do you know how she shops? For example, I'm 52 years old. I've been robbed twice in my life, so I don't carry a lot of cash around on me. I'm scared to death if I carry $20. So I prefer to use gift cards, like the caller just previously said. I feel safer that way. So when I'm giving gifts, that's what I give. I mean, how many people put cash
right.
in an envelope for a birthday gift? My point is this her normal
right.
mode of operation?
Well, it may
be.
I mean, it may be. We don't know. But I think that, Maria, and I do appreciate the call, I think that again, I think this becomes an ethics question.
Mm-hmm.
And there's some people who are calling in about that. Let me hear these next couple of callers in this email we got who's taking me to task when I read it. 410-319-8888 is number here. I think, Joyce, you're next. Joyce, you there? Did we lose Joyce? Just we got to her. Monica, you're next. What's going on? Hello, Monica, you there?
Monica.
Welcome.
No, this is Monica.
You're welcome. You're on the air, Monica.
Okay, I'm with you. My concern is more so with the ethics. Hello?
Yeah, we're here. We're listening to
you.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I'm more concerned with all of the money that has been spent. It appears to be, to me, more than anything, an ethical situation where so it should have been addressed more so by an ethical committee. And if you're going to hang her like you're hanging her for high treason, then God forgive me. Do it in that manner. But opposite side, I kind of look at it. If we're going to deal with anything, let's deal with it from the top all the way down from the bottom. Corruption is corruption. If you're going to clean up anything, clean up City Hall, deal with some of those City Hall individuals who got a lot of houses out here that they're waiting to get bought up by John Hopkins, okay? Corruption is corruption. If you're going to clean house, start from the top, work your way on out, because if they're really concerned, I don't hear anybody from City Hall saying, we want her to resign. We want her to pull out. Oh, this is causing so much havoc, you know. Well, I don't hear anybody saying anything. My opinion personally, everybody in there is dirty. Everybody in there is corrupted, because if you notice, nobody's saying a word. You want to know what I think? I think she's going to beat the case, and when she comes out, because she's a tough old girl, she's going to crush heads. You better watch out.
Monica, thank you so much for your thoughts. Let me read this email David wrote in. He says, at one point, it was said, value of gift cards, question mark. What does that have to do with it? Hey, Mark, how about tying murder rates and housing issues to Mayor Dixon? You don't think it's related? I thought you'd been in civil rights.
Interesting. Well, I don't know. That's kind of very esoteric, as we say.
I think that, though... Well, to me, tying these things to me together, for me, is that, as I said earlier, actually, we have a city that's closing recreation centers, that's laying off workers, where the murder rate is through the roof, where kids are still struggling to make it in school. The schools may be getting better, but there's at least 40% of children in our schools, if not more, who are barely reading in the grade level, in the 11th grade that they should be in the 6th grade. You know, when you have... people living in poverty, in deep, deep poverty in the city, and we're talking about gift cards. You know, I mean, it's just, we should be holding the mayor and everyone else accountable for what they are doing and not doing in the city for the people of the city.
Well, there's also the matter of, you know, what's the wake of this trial going to be on the city itself? You know, I mean, I walked to lunch today from the courtroom and I didn't even make it to the corner, and people are talking outside on the street. You know, they're upset, they're angry about the expenditure of money for the prosecution versus what's, you know, the blight in the city. And, you know, there's a lot of anger on the street. So you just kind of wonder when this is all over. What's going to happen, you know, in the wake of everything?
Okay. And I don't want our listeners to think that Mark or I or anybody is excusing the behavior of the mayor.
Oh, absolutely not.
Without question.
Absolutely not.
But I think our job and our role is to, as Melody just said, we have to ask all the questions. And it's not just the ethical behavior of the mayor. I am troubled. As someone who worked for this woman who lectured me about my personal finances and you've always got to be comfortable. Well, that's easy if someone's giving you $1,000 worth of gift cards an envelope that no one ever did that for me. So, I mean, I am troubled by her comfort level of accepting these things from people that are doing business with the city. But I'm not sure if it makes sense after you've investigated for 3.5 years and spent millions of dollars in a state that's struggling to find money to pay for our children's education, to pay for homelessness, to pay for children who are poor people who are struggling, if it makes sense to go after someone for gift cards. I don't know. Maybe you just file an ethics violation against them and make them pay a fine.
We should get back to the phones. Jay Wendell, do you want to comment on any of this before we go back to the phones?
Well, I would say, you know, it seems as though the prosecution wants to have the ends justify the means, and I don't think they've made a great case for that under the circumstances.
Mm-hmm.
I feel the same way as everyone else. I mean, millions of dollars for a couple hundred dollars worth of gift cards, to me, that's ridiculous.
403-198-8888. Let's see who's been on the phone long. This is Cedric. You've been holding on a while. You're on the air.
Yes. Hi. Thanks for taking the call. I have a couple of comments. One of which is that I'm always amazed at the response in the black community at when these kind of things come up, there's always the suggestion that there's a conspiracy. I should add that I'm very new to Baltimore, but I'm just baffled about the whole notion of how it is that you could be a mayor of a mid-sized American city. And there's even this issue of, let's say you're taking a $15 gift card.
Right.
Is the mayor that lacking in resources that this shouldn't have even entered her mind to start with? And then I also heard a mention of one of the developers where the mayor requested a specific dollar amount. I think it was $1,000
right.
In gift cards. Granted that the envelope had no notation on it,
right?
Would it have been possible, or couldn't the mayor have made some logical extension? Well, the value of the cards in the envelope summed $1,000, and therefore they must be from Turner for this purpose, or were they ever even counted?
I mean, I think that if they put the mayor on the witness stand, if I was a prosecutor, that's the questions I'd be asking the mayor.
I would also go as far as to say that if someone spent $2 million investigating anyone and all they found was gift cards, I think we all would feel like targets. If someone spent $2 million investigating a caller or even myself, I mean, who knows what they would find.
I know.
You'll find stuff that you forgot about.
Don't you know?
You know? And the fact that the mayor, after a $2 million investigation, they only come up with a couple hundred dollars worth of gift cards, yeah, you have to start to at least give some credence to these conspiracy theories in some respect.
Let me try to get this last caller in here if we can. A couple more callers. 410-319-8888. Mary, you're on the air.
Hi.
Hi, Mary.
Hi, how are you?
Well, welcome.
Thanks. Well, my comment was just that before any of this came out, I used to work at a department store, and she would always come and shop with mm-hmm. me. But I didn't know at first what she was holding in her hand, because it was like probably like about 100 gift cards, and I didn't realize that they were gift cards until she would pull one from the top of the stack. I thought it was some kind of a weird beeper or something like that at first. And then, you know, I was like, wow. You know, I didn't want to say, wow, those are not gift cards. But, you know, after this all came out, I'm like, there's no way that, you know, she knew what she was doing. That's just my opinion. She knew what she was doing. Nobody has that many gift cards without, you know, I mean, something going on. So.
There was a caller that called here earlier that said she's got about $800 worth of gift cards in her house. And that was surprising to me. So, I don't know what's normal anymore. I thought I knew. You know, but maybe people do go around with $800 worth of gift cards floating around their home. I just don't know.
I think some of this, you know, I think the mayor should respond to some of that. Like Mary was saying, some real serious ethical questions being raised here, I think, on the mayor's part. And on the other hand, she's got incredibly brilliant lawyers who were turning this case around.
Oh, they really are.
To a place the prosecutors didn't even expect it to go. You know, and so, they've got the prosecutors kind of twisting them around as if they're doing a tango or they're going to lose this dance contest.
They are very frustrated, I will say that, the prosecutors.
You can see that from the benches, can you?
They were hooting at the elevators today. I was walking out for lunch and they were having a little huddle at the elevators, some of the prosecutors, and they were, you know, in a bit of a lather. Yes, they are. You know,
Melody Simmons, I'm so happy you're covering this for us. Thank you so much for all the work you do for us.
Thank you.
You're great.
It's a pleasure.
Take care, Melody.
Jay Wendell Gordon, it's great to have you on the air. Please don't be a stranger and come back.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for joining us. Anthony and I are going to come back in just a minute and talk about something beyond the mayor's trial, which is the report that came out in Saturday's paper about could the Baltimore City and the state of Maryland be losing millions and millions, maybe hundreds of millions of dollars in money for our schools because the state doesn't have it, we don't have it right to get the new federal money. We're going to talk about that when we come back. The answer is why. What's going on? Stay with us. We'll be right back.